God is so good. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's get things in here. There you go. There we go. Y'all looking good. All right. Sunday school teacher said, now, little Johnny, how much y'all like little Johnny? Little Johnny's always, little Johnny, when I was coming up, it was little David. Okay, little David. Yeah. Little Johnny, I want you to memorize today's verse. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Little Johnny said, yes, ma'am, I know that already. My father says he always uses this as his life motto in his business. Wow. She said, oh, how noble of him. What is his business? She said, he's a boxer. There you go. Leave y'all awake. All right, now remember last week we started on apologies. And again, and this is heavy, heavy stuff. What if, now listen carefully, what if I could tell you one thing, it might not be the only thing, matter of fact, it's not the only thing, but what if I could tell you one thing that could help your relationship more than anything that you can think of? What would it be? Would you do it? If I told you, you try this, this will actually work wonders. Okay? Apology. I'm talking about a real heartfelt apology. We started last week on what an apology is not. I'm not going to go back into all that. I will build a little foundation just for the sake of those that weren't here, and I'm going to just kind of breeze through this initial foundation, and then we're going to go right into it. I told you there's five languages of apology as I started looking at it. And as I started writing, I realized that if I tried to go over all five today, you might be here for the night first. And then y'all would have to ask, I apologize. So, we're only going to do two today, we'll do three next week. Okay, the next one, once you get, the very first one is the foundation. And once you get past the first one, then the rest of them will kind of be pretty easy. But the initial one is the one that's going to take us the most time. It is the basic foundation. And I'm telling you, it is an awesome, awesome thing to find out just how much power true apology has. Because remember, we talked about last week, most of the time we're having problems, there's a door. And if we can try to open the door before we start throwing things back and forth at each other, who's done this, who done that, who's right, who's wrong, instead we build a bridge. And once we build a bridge, then we can start having an open conversation about what's going right and what's going wrong, but you can't do it as long as the door's shut. Okay? And a lot of us, have you ever said, I feel like I'm riding a dead mule? I feel like I'm beating that horse to death. You know, it doesn't matter as long as that says you got to close that. You got to get a bridge in order to get some healthy communication. So again, this is just a little recap. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace and mercy. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you, God, that we are able, God, to have your word. And we know, God, that there may come a time when it's going to be outlawed. And we know, God, that there's even places now where they're trying to outlaw sin. And it's kind of crazy, Lord. You would think it would never come to this, but it is coming to this. And Lord, let us cherish what we've got, while we've got, and to help promote what we've got so we don't lose it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. So now, remember, this is the verse. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I'll make him a helper suitable for him. Genesis 2:18. Now, that sounds all well and good until you start getting nuts and bolts. Now, I remember that God said, Adam, I will make you a helpmeet. And he said, she's gonna wash and cook and clean. She's never gonna complain. She's always gonna be there for you. She can do everything you want to do. Never, ever, ever cause an argument. He said, how much does that cost? She said, an arm and a leg. So Adam said, what can I get for a rib? I know, that's just crazy. All right, here we go. Remember this. It's not all men and it's not all women. Okay? Remember this. It's both. Don't say that. It's both. It's both. Okay, here we go. Get ready. Read it. We can cut through this real fast. God is all about relationship. Praise God. God in His power and His wisdom, He ordained relationship and He even designed relationship. Through Adam, although Adam had a relationship with God and he had a relationship with all the animals, God said he's still alone and it's not good. Okay, so the Bible says again, now the Lord God said it's not good, it's not sufficient, it's not satisfactory that man should be alone. I'll make him a helper, a suitable, adapted, complementary helper for him. And that's Genesis 2:18, the Amplified Version. Now, let me just tell you something now. It wouldn't be nice if we never had a problem. Wouldn't it be so nice? You know, the Hallmark Channel. The Hallmark Channel has 500 movies a month, but they're all the same. Amen? Boy meets girl, girl meets boy. They have a problem. They split up. And then God sends them another one. Everything's fine. And they're hunky-dory and live forever and happy. The same plot, 500 different movies. Right? So if you want a feel-good cry, feel-good movie, go turn to the Hallmark Channel. You want a reality channel, go to somebody's house. Just pick anybody's house. And don't let them know you're there. Then you get to see it. Okay? It's more like Hogan's Heroes or Battle of the Bulge or something. Amen. So now, watch this. Watch this. Even healthy relationships have problems. Don't say that. Even healthy relationships have problems. Okay? Again, we're trying to hurry up and get through this. Individuals need to feel loved. They need to feel appreciated. They need to be able to give and not just take, but be able to give. And so that's what relationships are for. But although they're there for that, they can also promote misunderstanding. Actions that can run contrary. Emotions get stirred. Feelings get hurt. And then to guard this, to help this from getting to be a sore, then we need really work on this stuff. And so now, that's relationships, but the reality of this is that no one, absolutely no one, is perfect. Amen. Don't look at your mate. Don't look at your friend. Don't look at your children. And go, no one is perfect. They know that already, and you don't need to tell them that. Amen. No one is perfect. Matter of fact, if people do not deal with their failures, resulting in an emotional barrier of hurt, then the relationship starts melting away. Okay? So the revelation is you need to learn how to apologize and forgive. So here it is, five languages. We talked about it last week, and we're going to start into right now. How many is ready for it to start into? Where are we at? Get back over here. Come on. Get back over in the right way. Here we are. Remember, and if y'all want to, we can go into five love languages after this. That's totally up to y'all. If I have more than one person say please, then we'll do it. Okay. The five love languages, they got together and they did a worldwide survey and they discovered that although there's so many ways people have their own way they talk love, it all boils down to five love languages. Okay, just five. You can put it all you want to, but they all fall in the funnel comes out as five different languages. And these five love languages help us connect. But although the five love languages help us connect, it does not prevent us from having disputes. If you're alive, you're going to have a dispute. Okay? As long as you live with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with your parents, as long as you have friends, there's always going to be a dispute. How many can think of a relationship you got right now that there's never, ever a dispute? There's not one. Not as long as they're both living. Okay? Everybody, there's going to be a dispute, and it is healthy. I hear people say all the time, well, they never argue at all. Well, guess what? They're going to be the same ones that's going to wind up when they do argue. It's going to be a victim. Okay? And it's like they say, well, how about when somebody shoots up something or goes in and shoots somebody, and they go, I don't understand that he was the most quiet guy. He never argued. Never had any problems with anybody. Yes, he did, but the problem was he internalized it all. As long as he internalized the hurt, it built up. And as it built up, what happened is the pressure valve got stuck. And here it goes. You know, one day I turned on we have a above ground pool and we have a pump, and you have to turn it to filter, or you put it to stop so you can change things. And one day I was trying to do things, I had it stopped, and then I went to turn it back on, and I forgot to put it on flow, and all of a sudden it was sounding all kinds of crazy ways. And then when I finally got to it, and I finally got a chance to move the arm to flow, because it had that pressure, that back pressure built up. A lot of times, what you think is the initial argument is actually the backdraft. It's actually the result of stuff that's been built up and built up and built up that didn't just happen. I can't understand it. This just happened. No, it didn't. It's been going on for days, weeks, months, and you didn't know it because you internalized it. It'll get better. Well, he don't have to apologize. I don't have to apologize. But what? So just internalize. And it keeps internalizing. Then when you finally blow up, some of you think, they just lost their mind. They flipped out. They went crazy. And you go, no, they didn't. No. Finally, a relief valve. And sometimes the relief valve, if you don't pop it, it's going to pop it itself. Okay, and there you go. So the love, the languages of love, the love languages help us connect. The languages of apology help us reconnect. All right? So listen carefully. And remember, we talked about this new rule. And I heard about this rule all last week. When I got home, I heard about it. When I got some people in the grocery store that watched it, they told me about it. They said, and matter of fact, I was talking to somebody, and I just happened to say the word, but. And they said, no, no. And I said, yeah, well, I keep on moving, but you're standing on my toes. But it's sometimes healthy, okay? New rule. Here it is, number one rule. Always remember this. You got to remember this rule. Never say, I'm sorry, but. I love you, but. Because when you say, I'm sorry, but, what you're saying is, there's going to be wrongdoing on the other side. Now, I'm sorry, even if the person on the other side is wrong too, don't go, I'm sorry, but, because that automatically, like we were talking about last week, it nullifies the whole apology. What you're doing is, when you put that but in there, you're attempting, listen carefully, you're attempting to excuse your own bad behavior based on their bad behavior. In other words, you're just reaping what you sowed. Well, actually, would they the one that sowed it if you sowed it? Or did both of you sow it? Or did somebody else sow it and you are reaping it? So we don't need to be pointing fingers. We need to be putting out hands outstretched and bringing people into it. Okay? So it takes strength and humility, but you always have a choice over your actions. So be responsible for owning up on your own end. Okay? Be responsible and let God deal with your spouse instead. Okay? Here we go. Get ready. Here it goes. The very first love language. I told you, we're going to do the two today, but this first one's going to be kind of long. So y'all go ahead and get ready and go ahead and get your steel toes on. I got mine on. I wore mine yesterday as I was doing this. I'm wearing them now. Amen? Matter of fact, it's not these shoes. These shoes are pretty cool. I'm wearing steel toe socks. All right. Ready? The very first of the five languages of apology. Get ready. Expressing regret. This is the basis of the next four. Without this one, the next four are going to be kind of hindered. So that's why I call this the foundation of the five languages. Now, usually when you're expressing regret, of course, often it begins with, I'm sorry. Okay? Not all apologies wind up ending with, I'm sorry. Okay? But this one has to start with, or will usually start with, I'm sorry. Now, watch this now. Listen carefully. It is this apology language that we're talking about, expressing regret, focuses on emotional hurt. Okay? How many has ever hurt your spouse or your child or your parent or some relationship you really didn't mean to? You didn't know it was going to come out that way. You were actually trying to help, but instead of helping, you hurt. And it hurt them deeply because it was you that did it. Okay? And because it was you that did it, it results in a lot of emotional hurt. There are certain things that happen to me I just throw off and brush off like nothing's ever happened. Or it can make me get upset or get angry. But when certain people do the same thing, it emotionally hurts. Okay, so it's usually the closest ones to you. And that'd be your spouse or your children, your parents, or your good buddies, the people that you're around with all the time, workmates. Okay? So this love language goes right to emotional hurt. Listen carefully. It's an admission of guilt and shame for causing pain to the other person. Now remember, it's so easy to go, I'm sorry, but if you had never spoken to me that way. I'm sorry, but if you hadn't acted that way. I'm sorry, but you started this. Has anybody ever said any of those things I just said? If I took both feet and both hands up, I'd fall. I'm sorry, but you started it. I'm sorry, but you're the one with the bad attitude. I tell you what, you're going to get a lot of stuff accomplished because you're building that wall thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker. So what you have to do is you look. No matter what they did for me, and I found this worked so good, is I go, you know what? And you got to really mean it now. I don't mean that you're just saying it to appease them. Because all right, if all you're going to do is try to appease the other party, keep your mouth shut. Okay? If you're just going to try to make the other party, you know, you're just trying to shut them up, so you're saying just to shut them up, forget it. But if you really, really, really deep down inside know that you're so sorry that this happened and that they were hurt emotionally. And here's where it is. Watch this. I'm sorry that I caused you pain, emotional, deep, hurting pain. A lot of people think if you don't see blood, it didn't really hurt you. You know what? If you could look out in the congregation right now, in any congregation, in any church, if you could look at any place, any job, if you could take off the outer layers and see the inside of people, there's no telling how many people are sitting here with IVs. There's no telling how many people in here have bandages across their heads. There's no telling how many people in here have a defibrillator hooked up, and every time they walk, they keep talking. Can't see it. And people are so good at covering up and hiding. So because of that, if we could actually look around and see the IVs hanging, we could see the band-aids flying, and we could smell the alcohol, because it's not physical pain, it's emotional. And I can tell you something. Physical pain really hurts. But physical pain is nothing compared to emotion. Now, here's the difference. I can have physical pain, or I can have a physical pain with or without emotional pain. But I cannot. This, and you can see. I can have physical pain, but not have emotional pain, but I cannot, promise you, have emotional pain. But it will not in some ways cause physical pain, but the difference will be I might not have to have stitches, I might not have to wear a Band-Aid, but I'm having heartburn, indigestion, high blood pressure, my sugar's gone crazy, I can't think, I can't sleep, I can't even get my mind on what's going on, I dissociate. I know y'all don't know what dissociating is, but have y'all ever done this? Watch this. All of a sudden you just do this. Watch. You're talking with your spouse. You're talking with somebody. And all of a sudden you do this. Ready? Watch. Ready? And they talk to you. You go, oh, I'm sorry. You know what's happening? Your mind is protected. A simple way is, if you're going to the shower and you're getting out of the shower, you say, did I wash my hair enough? One day I climbed back in the shower and washed my hair again. Because I can't remember if I washed my hair or not. That's a simple way we dissociate. Okay, this is something very simple. About, you know, I was cooking and I turned the stove off. It's simple stuff. But when somebody's hurting, and you see them get that blank stare, don't think they're being mean to you. Their mind, God put this in them. This is a God thing. He says, I'm going to help you shut down if nothing more for you to say. So they can handle the deep emotion. Okay. So now, here's the hero. You got this emotional hurt going on. Now let's get an example. Let's do a biblical example, because since we are Christians, wouldn't you like to have a Bible example? Okay. Look. The prodigal son. The son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I'm no longer deserve to be recognized as a son of yours. Here's a guy that is expressing. Did he mean it? There's no doubt he meant it. He meant it so much that when he come back, he said, Lord, he said, Dad, I don't even have to be your son anymore. I'll just be one of your servants, because they have it better than I'm having it right now. I blew it. And I'm sorry that I blew it. It doesn't even matter. I don't even feel like I could be on the same relationship level with you now. Just take me at a lower level right now. Just get us in started here, because I know I regret what I did. Now, it's amazing. So amazing. If we can learn. Now, watch this. Look. Here it is. Expressing regret. I'm trying to get fancy. I just put the words up there. I said, instead of finding a fancy slide, you can put the words so you can get it in your head and think about it. Expressing regret. So when I got saved, I promise you, when I got saved, when I got that altar, I said, God, I have lived my life my own way for so long. And God, it hurts me to think that I hurt you by the way I was living. And I'm pretty sure I'm trying to remember that was the prodigal son being preached when I got saved. But yes, God, I'm so sorry that I hurt you. And I know I've gone to my children and I've gone to my wife and I've gone to other people and said, I'm so sorry that I hurt you. Please forgive me. Isn't God awesome, awesome, awesome? But he'll give us that chance. Here we go. Watch this. Ready? Here it is. Those that have, remember, this is languages. Those that have, those that require that type of language, that's their apology language, the ones they like to receive. And we're going to do a little test later, and you'll see what yours is. When somebody, that's their apology language. When you go up to them and have a heartfelt regret for what you've done, simple, I'm sorry, is all they're looking for. Wow. There's no need for explanation. There's no need to pay back. If the apology really comes from the heart. So expressing regret is a very powerful love language, because it gets right to the point. It doesn't make excuses. It doesn't attempt to deflect blame. And watch this. Above all, expressing regret takes ownership of the wrong. I'm guilty. Did you do it all? No. Are you totally responsible for everything? No. But there's some I am responsible for. And what I'm responsible for, I'm so sorry. And when you do that to someone they know is sincere, they also know that you're sincere about repairing and rebuilding the relationship. Whether it be with your spouse, whether it be with your parents, whether it be with your kids, whether it be with friends, co-workers, church members, is something that's very powerful. And body language. Watch this. Remember I talked about last week? Well, watch this. Watch. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. Really? Or, would you please move in front of the television? By the way, I'm sorry. Or, didn't see anything in there that looked like it was sincere. Not one thing. Now, you're sincere. Your body language. Here, let's talk about body language. Your body speaks so loudly when you're doing this. Listen. It speaks more clearly when the person's offering an apology, reflects sincerity not only verbally, but also through their body language. Unflinching eye contact. Turn off the television. Put down your cell phone. Turn off the ring or something and look them right dead in the eye. If it's your spouse, take them by the hand. If it's your children, put your arm around them. If it's your parents, whatever you normally do with your parents, you hug them, whatever. If it's a co-worker or a friend, stop what you're doing, look them in the eye. Okay? So now, unflinching, and then again, some people you don't need to touch because that's not appropriate. But if it's appropriate, then you go ahead and you touch them and you tell them with eye contact and gentle touch that it's okay. And look, it communicates that you feel badly about your behavior. But remember, even though I'm sorry is enough, never use it all by itself. Here we go. Number, this is good stuff. Nay, nay. Are your toes hurting or are you happy? Did you look like you're standing in line for an all, for an all, waiting for an all, you're standing in line waiting for a root canal? What's going on? All right, ready? Number two. Accepting responsibility. Number one is respect, is expressing sincere regret. I'm so sorry that we're having this problem. I'm so sorry for my part of this. I'm so sorry that I hurt you. I'm so sorry that you're hurting most of you. Now, you got to remember something, the prodigal son, when the prodigal son left, he hurt the father emotionally. And after the prodigal son done what he did, he hurt himself emotionally. And when he came back, the father was looking for him already because the father was already hurting him. And once the father said, kill the fatty calf, then the big brother, the older brother, now he's hurt emotionally. All these emotional hurts that's going on in this story of the prophet's son. It's just everywhere you look, it's just hurt, hurt, hurt. And the father is the one that's taking care of business. Okay? So accepting responsibility. Accepting responsibility is saying you were wrong and you're not going to blame anybody else. Wow. You see, it really takes a big man or a big woman to say, not do the butt. Because the butt, when you put the butt up there, what it does is it gives me a way to get a little easy way out of it. I don't have to feel pain as much. Okay? Here's the example again. It was prodigal son. Now watch this. Verse 18 says, he was in the pig pen. He says, I will get up and go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. What we read before is once he got to the Father. But this is before he gets to the Father. He says, I will get up. It says in the Greek, I will rise. Now watch this. This is something special. Because when he said, I will rise, it means I accept responsibility for what I did. And I will get up. I've seen people literally, I'm not kidding, they had the power to get up. And that word get up means literally in the Greek to get up again, to rise up again, to get up from the seat. You were once up, now you're down, and you refuse to stay down, you're getting back up. Here it goes, ready? I've seen people that get knocked down and they're so busy blaming everybody else that they stay down. And I've seen people stay down for months, for years, for a lifetime, because they can't accept responsibility. They're so busy blaming. And so what he said was, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to do this. I take responsibility. I'm going to get up. I'm waiting for my father to come. The Bible didn't say the father went looking for him. The Bible said the father was right there where he was to start with, but he was looking for him to come back. He wasn't going out to get him. He let him run the course. So now watch this. My actions have brought me to this place, and my actions will bring me back to the place of prosperity. So amazing. So watch this. Watch this. Here we go. I'm getting ready to close. So I told you I don't want to keep you all day. I could do the other three right now. We could stay here till the night, but you know, right now, then I have to apologize. Ready? Self time. Just remember, this hits me too. It's not always, this hit me pointing the finger out. This is me pointing the finger out and three coming back. Okay? So here we go. It is difficult for some people to admit that they're wrong. Have you ever seen anybody like that? I've seen people. I'm telling you, I got them in my family. I worked with them. You know, there's people I've gone to church with over the years. They would not admit they were wrong for no reason whatsoever. They would never admit they were wrong. If they tried to admit they were wrong, they would always tack on, but it was still my fault. Okay, so it takes, like I said, a mark of maturity. A mark of maturity is when you can actually admit when you make a mistake. It makes them, here's why, it makes them doubt their self-worth. It makes them even feel like a failure if they say they were wrong. But you know what? We must all admit we're sinners and that we all make mistakes. Who in here doesn't make mistakes? Raise your hand. If you raise your hand, that was your first mistake. We all make mistakes. We all mess up. The person I had the most problem with, I look at in the mirror every morning. He's the first person I look at in the morning. He's the one I had the most problems with. I brush his teeth. I change his, put on his shoes. I brush his hair, and then I look at him and say, instead of looking and say, you're one good looking rat. I look at him and say, okay, try not to mess up today. Y'all still looking at me like a mule looking at a moon cake, but that's okay. Ready? Ready? Realize we will make poor decisions that hurt our relationship. It's unavoidable. Yeah, you can avoid some of them, but I promise you, have you ever thought, you know, it's like this. This part of love language. It's your anniversary. Let me give you a scenario. It's your anniversary, and one of the love languages is quality time. Another love language is gift. And so, for your wife, her love language is quality. Okay? Your love language may be gifts. And so, you decide for your anniversary, you're going to go out in the back and try to even make it a surprise, redo the entire back there. You paint it, you fix it up, you put some furniture out there, and you spend the next two Saturdays and every night doing it. So on your anniversary, you look at your wife and say, I want you to come back here and look in the back wall. And she goes back and looks and she goes, What's the problem? I didn't speak her love. I gave gifts when she would have rather I spent those two Saturdays and those nights with her. Going shopping, going somewhere, doing something, talking to people, just being there sitting beside them on the couch. Okay? So again, I didn't speak the right language, or not me personally, because the person in the scenario, they didn't speak the right language, and they're upset now because they just spent all this time, effort, and money fixing up the deck when the wife is still feeling like, well, he doesn't love me. Really? They love each other dearly. The problem is, they're not on the same radio. And they don't understand that. And because they don't understand that, they can't understand. I'm trying to tell you I love you! But I didn't hear it! Okay. Well, there's $1,000 worth of love out there.
I don't care if there's a million. I still didn't hear it.
And it could go the other way, too. Okay? So again, here goes the apology. Now you got to do the apology thing, okay? So now, remember, we're all going to mess up. Guaranteed you're going to mess up. If you don't think you're going to mess up, there's watch out. Because I promise you, look. Let God my ego. It should be let go my ego. Okay. Y'all, that's a misspelling. Not let God my ego. It's let go my ego. Okay. I was in a hurry. I thought I was doing good, and I reckon I weren't doing as good as I thought I was. Okay. So, guess what? I said we're all prone to make mistakes. There's one right there. Let go my ego. Let go of my ego. So watch this. So, let go of my ego means I accept responsibility. Watch this. We need to learn how to overcome our ego. You know your ego is your worst enemy? Watch this. I desire not to be, your ego says, I desire not to be viewed as a failure. And look, just simply admit you were wrong. It's not rocket science. There's people all the time that all they had to have done is one simple admit they were wrong and things would be better. But they would rather hold on to their ego. Oh man, look. The apology means allowing yourself, look, this apology language. Allow means I'm allowing myself to look weak. But you know what? Actually, it takes a lot of strength to do this. It makes a world of difference to those who speak this language. Remember, you may be painting a port, but your wife wants to hold your hand. You can hold a paintbrush, you're going to hold her hand. Okay? I guarantee you, holding her hand is a lot less expensive in one way, but gives a whole lot more dividends. Okay? If that's a different level. Okay, so now I'm going to get really close. Get ready. I love this. Watch this. I'll read this with me. Apologizing doesn't always mean you're wrong and the other person is right. Let's do this again. I think some of y'all can get there. Ready? Together. Let's all do it together. Ready? If you can see it. If you can't see it, just go. Apologizing doesn't always mean you're wrong and the other person is right. It means you value your relationship more than your ego. Wow. I'm going to say wow. I got to read that one again. That was good. I wish I'd have said that, but I didn't. Apologizing doesn't always mean you're wrong and the other person is right. It means you value your relationship more than your ego. That's going to be a mighty army. I can see that already. I can't see that picture, but I can see that. It's amazing what could happen if we could learn the simple little words in religion. Brandon, come here and throw something in. Softly. Everybody stand up. Every eye bowed. Every head bowed. That would be kind of hard, wouldn't it? Everybody bow your eyes. Everybody stick your finger in your eye. Ready? Everybody bow your head. Close your eyes. Very first thing I'm going to ask, as always, is there anyone here that says, I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? That's the number one relationship. Without that relationship, the other relationships are going to be faltered anyway. So, is anybody here where every head's bowed, every eye's closed, that say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus and I wouldn't have one before I leave? would you raise that hand? And also those people that maybe watch this on Facebook, you can raise your hand. I can't see it, but I know it's out there. There's going to be somebody. So let me start out with this. After that one, is there anybody here that you're not saved, but your relationship is hindered with God? There's more walls than there are bridges. And you find yourself hurting because you know there's a gap between you and God. But I'm talking to you right now. You want to get rid of that gap between you and God. You want things to get better between you and Him. You're saved, but there's more walls than bridges. Would you just, when nobody's looking around, would you put that hand up and say, "That's me"? Touch them, Lord. Touch them right there. And then let me ask, so we can all pray together. And then let me ask you this. Do you have some relationships in your life that there's more walls than bridges? There's more disconnect than there is connect. There's more hurt than there is help, and there's more pain than there is in being free. When nobody's looking around, every eye closed, would you just stick your hand up and say, "Yeah, I've got some of those"? Touch them, Lord. Touch them all right now. Hands are going up everywhere. Touch them, Lord. We're going to all pray together. And we're going to watch what God can do, okay? Father, forgive me for any shortcomings, any sin, any attitude, any action that hinders my relationship with you. Father, I need you to open the doors between you and me so that I can get stronger in you. And Lord, not only that, but I need you also, Lord, there's relationships that there's more walls than bridges. Y'all say that. And I need you to put light on my path and show me how to get beyond this. And Father, wherever, whenever, I can use the power of apology, help me. And I thank you for it. Because I know that will tear down a wall and build a bridge. I thank you, God, for all that you do in my life. And I give this all to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. Isn't it good to be in the house of God? I'm not kidding. I read somewhere, and it was from Jay Sekulow. Jay Sekulow is not some fly-by-nighter. He's a Christian, and he's a Christian lawyer, and he does cases all over the world. And I didn't see exactly where it was at. I didn't have time to keep researching to see what was all that. But there's some places where they're trying to shut down, believe it or not, singing in the church because of offending people. And there's been places recently where people stood outside the door of the church and harassed people as they came in. Remember, it's not time for us to get in the back of the line and follow. It's time for us as Christians to get in the front of the line. Okay? Get in the front and leave. Don't be afraid. Get in the front and leave. But leave with Holy Ghost wisdom and Holy Ghost power. God will show us. And when we do it, it's going to be an awesome, awesome thing. So, Tuesday night, we're still talking about stress management. We're getting ready to do something different, and I'm not sure exactly which one it's going to be next. But we got something coming that's going to be good. And Tuesday nights have been really good. I really do have a good time, and we're going to keep on having a good time. Look at fine, Tammy, looking good. I know you can't help it. All right, all hearts and minds clear. All right, Brother Dudley, you just put this in prayer, please.